You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. Just about 20 minutes or so away from the end of minicamp day numero uno. If you're New Orleans Saints mandatory minicamp, you can see them if you can't today. Tomorrow, Thursday, same thing, 11 a.m. to 1:20. Tim Hightower out there on a tryout. Receiver Kelvin Snead out there on a tryout. Cam Jordan not there. The birth of a child has him a little tied up. No Michael Thomas, Brandon Coleman, Traquan Smith in the receiving core. Alex Okafor did walkthroughs, but not doing anything else. Running back Jamal Charles, per Adam Schefter, will be visiting the Saints tomorrow. Marcus Davenport, a bit of a scare to Saints fans. He gets a sack of quarterback Drew Brees in the red zone. Then pulls up lame. Well, no, not lame. Just walked through the side with trainers. Little investigations. Heat was the reasoning for it, as it is a little warm out there right now for the Saints as they're getting ready to wrap up that practice. As we said, head coach Sean Payton will be addressing, obviously, the media afterwards. It's 90 degrees, at least per the app. Humidity, beautiful 71%. Joey, you know what it feels like out there?
Let's see, like I just went outside and it's raining over here.
Okay.
And the sun came out, so it went from 90 degrees to about 350.
102 per the app.
Ouch!
102 per the app.
Well, it's going to be nice after the rain passes, y'all, then the sun comes out.
So, there you go. So, no one's going to go tough it out, Marcus Davenport. 102 is 102. My friends.
I'm skipping training camp.
Dude, I'm telling you, I told you, I was laboring this morning. I was looking at the mini schnauz. I'm like, dude, you do not need to go on every tree. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Look, I'm
like, I don't even know how he does it. It's almost about a mile walk that we do, and it's like every step he, you know, wee-wees. I'm like, dude, no, let's go. I'm like dying.
Look, I have a beagle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach you Cajun. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of something called a bullie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's actually a light that miners wear.
Okay.
Coal miners. Wrap it around your dog's head, and you hook him up to a line like I do in the clothesline, and let him run. He's got the light at night. And then when he wants to come back, he usually knocks at the door. Now he rings the bell.
Now what it is?
Yeah, he knocks at the door. It's like he does like this. Joey?
Okay.
Joey goes, and then I let him
Sounds
in.
Sounds good.
That's it.
All right.
Train
so that,
your dog.
That red zone drill kind of flashing some moments here. Not to interrupt you, but you got to like this right now because, look, we asked this question out there, 800-998-1003, if you want to chime in at any point during a conversation. As we said, I'm pretty sure you'll probably hear from Mark Ingram after Sean Payton coming up bottom of the hour. We're going to try to squeeze in the graph, who apparently has been watching every super regional game. We'll touch some CWS next segment. Dino wants to chime in this segment around 105 here to the two stories that we're talking about LeBron, Mike Greenberg, Jalen Rose saying the best option for LeBron is here in New Orleans. Bleacher Report put out a story that makes no sense. The headline is the Warriors are interested in the Pell star. And then literally in the story, it says, while it's a pipe dream, AD's, yeah, exactly. It's no point in doing it whatsoever. But it got people on Fox Sports 1 talking about it. Nick Wright saying, hey, you know, they could do this in a year. Maybe they do this in a year. So now we're speculating as to who's going to go after Anthony Davis in a year when it happens there. So anyway, that's what we're talking about in hour number one. Also, team motto. Several of you have said that apparently Cam Jordan and Sean Payton said it's bow up this year. I threw it out there for you guys and especially your entrepreneurs out there saying, what would you want? You know, to throw on a t-shirt, maybe sell it out the back of your car. I'm going with unfinished business in the front, on a back, DST, period, 469. Destination, 469 miles. And that would be Atlanta, site of this year's Super Bowl. See what I just did there?
I saw what you did there.
Exactly what I
How
just
about
did
this
there.
Shirt? Dino's the man.
Dino's the man. That would be a nice shirt there. Yeah, I'm sure he would like it. Before we bring in Dino, let's let him listen to what Mike Greenberg and Jalen Rose had to say this morning. Dino, give a listen.
Out of way to make Anthony Davis the MVP of the league. Anthony Davis would be the MVP. He almost was this year anyway.
True.
Would be the MVP of the NBA with LeBron. And I would love to see a conference final between Golden State and a LeBron James-led New Orleans Pelicans.
Well, now you stomp me. Yeah. With this one. Because I agree with you. You put him alongside Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. Now you have the guard presence that can make Steph work. You have the forward presence that can make KD work. And then you have a dominant big in Anthony Davis down low. This is the team that you just gave me clarity that LeBron James could join and could really push the Golden State Warriors.
Interesting. Don't forget, at that point, no doubt Rajon Rondo would sign for a bag of beignets. Let's bring in Dino Hansen at Dino Hoops 11. Didn't talk to y'all last week, my friend, as the season came to an end, but I knew you probably wanted to chime in on this because it's that year, and I like this. This is a good thing for Pels fans, if you know how to take it. When this many people are talking about LeBron and then Anthony Davis is being talked about as well, that kind of gives you an idea as to where people outside of New Orleans view how good Anthony Davis is.
And it also shows you the respectability that the Pels making the playoffs, AD having the showing that he did, Drew and the impact that he had, Rajon's impact. It also gives you that national credibility and the fact that this is a legitimate, now being talked about, franchise and organization. So it bodes extremely well all across the board. And in order to get LeBron here, yeah, we would have to give up quite a bit. But as long as we wouldn't have to give up, and we wouldn't because there are various different scenarios and packages that could be put together. But as long as we don't have to give up a and Anthony Davis, despite him being wanted and coveted by every team in the NBA.
Right.
As long as we don't have to give up AD, don't have to give up Drew Holiday, like you alluded to a minute ago, the fact that Rajon was signed for a bag of beignets, I'd make sure I'd be at Cafe Du Monde getting the beignets for Rajon to stay. So, you know, that says a lot about this franchise and organization and the playoff run that they've made. And adding a LeBron James literally elevates you to being the top three teams in the NBA. And I say top three because with LeBron James on the Pelicans basketball team, you're looking at Golden State, you're looking at Houston, who everybody's going to always feel like is going to choke and fizzle out. And then you got the Pels. I mean, let's be honest. Outside of that, bruh, it's, well, you know, it's fair game. But the Pels would jump up to the top three.
And here's the other thing, too. And again, speaking with Jake Madison last week and even seeing it from people today on Twitter that have verified accounts that cover the league, one individual said the same thing that Jake came up with. Because I asked him last week, I'm like, come on, I'm seeing all these people go, hey, LeBron, come. Like, how would you even pay for that? He goes, simple, sign and trade with Boogie. That's how it would work. The salaries would match in there. Obviously, you might throw in some other players in there, but if both players signed with their team, LeBron with Cleveland, and they get something instead of nothing, right? And Boogie gets his money, goes there, and he's the guy that they can build around and things of that nature. Sign and trade would be the way to get LeBron. It's other pieces that you would need to get to. Dino, I think the other thing that makes sense, and that's why I was joking, I said, hey, Rondo would sign for a bag of beignets. If you got LeBron, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis as your core, and Rondo there as well, now you're talking about the possibility of other players willing to take less, come here for a year, try to win a championship, do things of that nature. That's when players sort of talk. Because right now, the problem that Dell Demps is going to have, if you don't re-sign Bogey, if you do too, is to try to convince people to come here for not so much money because you don't have any. But to your point, you add LeBron, now all of a sudden people are like, hey, I'm in.
Absolutely. I mean, it changes the entire landscape. Yeah, it will definitely take Steel and Dell to put a few packages together. You're right. We go sign and trade. Cleveland goes sign and trade. and LeBron would be able to contend for a championship and beat the Golden State Warriors before they even make it to the NBA Finals. So it is a very good possibility. It's a possibility that nobody thought that could possibly even come to fruition. But when you look at how high AD's level of his game has grown, and especially how he showed you during the playoffs, his elite status, Drew Holiday taking a page out of that same book and being the, you know, the thing about Drew is he's the perfect complement to AD in the sense of he's not a guy who will force situations. He's not a guy who has to have the overall limelight, if you will. Think about it. You have to have guys that buy into their role on a basketball team. And Drew fits that perfect role. He's not a guy that tried to shots away from AD. You know, you don't want to have somebody who's going to take shots away from AD, take shots away from LeBron James, take shots away from Boogie. And if you will, with Drew, he's almost like that silent assassin. You forget the things that he can do on a basketball court, and you look up, and he's made key plays. He's made great decisions. You put a Rondo in there, I guarantee you, bruh, the Pelicans become the talk of the league.
Like I said, look, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the possibilities, you go back to what Dwayne Wade said over the weekend, and Dwayne Wade probably knows him as well as anybody. He says he thinks, quote, it will be a lifestyle decision. He says he's so good at hoops right now, and people will go, and he can help wherever he goes, that they'll be contenders. And I think you could argue, Dino, when you take a look at what the Cavs were this year and what he did, I can't argue with what he's saying there. And it makes sense because it's a little different than when he took his talents to South Beach in this aspect of it. His kid's a little older, right? You heard during the finals, people say on ESPN that he has a very real goal of playing with this kid or against his kid. He thinks his son, his oldest son, is just a couple years away from, you know, he's going to go one and done probably and all that, but playing in the league. He wants to play one season and have them both in the league. That's his goal. Then he'll retire. So he's got a couple years left. But he can really go anywhere when it comes to that. So lifestyle means this. Where do you want to raise your family? Where does he want those kids to play basketball, right? I mean, you have that IMG school and all that other stuff in Florida, and I'm sure you got stuff like that in the West Coast and everywhere. And more importantly, Dino, where does the missus want to live? You know? And I think that's the thing that kind of maybe that's why you haven't seen New Orleans on the Vegas list. Maybe that's why you haven't seen a lot of people say it from that perspective. Basketball-wise, you can be put in the conversation. It's everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, for a guy like AD, and you know his family well, I mean, it's perfect for them. He doesn't want the star-studded sort of thing. He likes kind of being under the radar. New Orleans is perfect for that. And in the offseason, goes and lives in L.A., so you can have sort of that. Now, in the offseason, go live wherever you want. But that's, I think, the thing that's kind of holding New Orleans back from maybe serious consideration. I don't know. It's just interesting that Dwayne Wade said he thinks it's going to be a lifestyle decision for him.
I agree. And here's the other thing of note as well, for those that may not be aware of it, his oldest son, they just enrolled him in school. Here's a little caveat, Gus. They just enrolled him in school in Los Angeles, in California. So, you know, now that talk about possibly the Clippers and the Lakers, it actually becomes a possibility now because there's no way in the world because here's the thing about it. You know, he's a fantastic guy off the court. The impact that he has in people's lives, he has made it a point to be a part of his kids' lives despite him not having his father in his life. So that's extremely commendable that he has stepped up to take care of those things. But going to Los Angeles now is something that is tangible. It's come to fruition. If his son is in school in Los Angeles and he's enrolled out there, you can almost bet that 9 times out of 10, he's going to want to be somewhere where his son is. His son's game has improved, and, you know, that's the major concern. And you're right, a lifestyle, no question. AD loves the lifestyle, his family here, and that, you know, you can kind of be inconspicuous here in New Orleans. You know, you can kind of just go about your business, do your thing, and enjoy yourself. The New Orleans lifestyle, right, of course, similar to Miami as well. So there are definitely a lot of positives that are here. But being that the NBA is so global, you don't have to be in a large market to have that large presence in the NBA anymore.
All right, no doubt. That's Dino Hansen. Dino Hoops is the way to follow him over on Twitter. And Dino Hoops 11 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Always a pleasure, my friend. And we'll keep in pace. And we'll keep chatting
always
as we get
good
closer to the draft. Good, and we'll do that, man. Thank you so much, bud.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate you, my brother. Talk to you later.
Sounds good, man. Take care. Head coach Sean Payton about to chat as practices come to an end. We'll hear what he has to say next as you listen to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Head coach Sean Payton addressing the media following today's practice minicamp, day number one in the books. Here he is, head coach Sean Payton.
Any questions after our first day here, similar to the OTA schedule, but maybe a little different.
How did Michael look to you, coach?
Good, good. I think he's in good shape. Yeah, he did well. Good seeing him out here.
Have y'all had a chance to visit any more about his situation?
No. No. And if we did, it would be just between us, but we talked throughout the offseason, so.
Obviously, Tim Hightower out here as well.
We've got five guys that are out here working out for 3 days, which is pretty common, you know, and so he's just someone we'll take a look at. Obviously, we're familiar with him. I think we've got a kicker, a defensive tackle, wide receiver. We got a number of guys that are just here on a three-day workout. So it always gives us an idea where guys are. Oftentimes, it helps us with the shortlist grade.
Sean, speaking of that shortlist, Adam Schefter reported Jamal Charles might have tried. Are you just updating a shortlist at running back, or you're thinking you might want to bring a veteran to training camp?
No, if we work anyone out here in the next few days, it would be just to see what kind of shape they're in, see how they're doing. It doesn't preclude us from signing someone, but it's pretty normal.
Sean, how have you seen the wide receiver, Eldridge Massington, just come along throughout?
You know, he's doing well. Part of it's learning the playbook, you know, getting comfortable with the calls and then all the details. We have a few of those young guys that are, you know, today was another part of an install and starts running together. So the key for those guys is just getting up to speed with the terminology and then being able to play fast. That would definitely be the case with him.
Coach, were you satisfied with the tempo of the practice considering the weather condition?
I thought early on it was good. I thought later on it began to wane some and hopefully tomorrow we come back out and have another good day. Obviously we're going to deal with these temperatures, so you know they get used to it. But I thought early on, the first half of practice was better.
Coach, could you please update us on Marcus Davenport?
No update. You know, we won't go through any injuries now with guys. You know, he's got a thumb that we'll have repaired right when we're finished here on Friday.
But you don't think it's a major issue, correct?
No, correct.
What have you seen from Boston Scott? What do you think kind of impact he'll have on the team?
We'll see. He's someone who's fluid. He's quick. He's a guy who's pretty smart. Gives you some versatility because he's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He, too, is learning a lot because he's kind of lining up in a few different spots. But so far, you know, he's done some good things.
Anything like Cam Jordan, Michael Thomas?
No updates. Cam's having a baby.
Was Thomas an excused absence?
Yeah. Yep. I'm not going to go through each guy that is here or not here.
Coach, how confident do you feel of your secondary, another year of progression for those guys?
Well, look, I think we've got some younger players that saw a lot of time last year. I think we're deeper there than we've been. So once we get started in training camp and then, you know, get a chance to start competing against some other teams, I think that will help us. But so far, you know, I'm encouraged with the depth there and competition at some of those spots.
Has Kirk Coleman changed anything you guys can do coverage-wise?
Well, no. I mean, look, he's versatile. He's a guy that's played in a handful of schemes. He's smart. He knows what to do. So I don't know that with his addition we look to change certain things, but obviously, you know, when you're in man, it's about matchups. And then, you know, he's someone that has some versatility playing deep and then closer to the ball.
Coach, it seems you have some versatility at linebacker with guys pretty much lining up all over. Is that done by design, or you just kind of trying to find out who sticks where?
Well, each of those guys generally is trained in a primary, you know, and then a secondary spot. So Some of them are just working at one spot. Again, hopefully our depth there is better, and I think we've got good competition at all those positions.
How would you assess your progress with the new kickoff rule system for the first meeting?
Well, it's more of an instructional time of the year where we're going through the nuances of alignment. I think not until we start seeing other teams will you begin to quickly make changes and you know, adapt as quick as you can. So I think every team's probably going through the same thing right now. All right, thanks.
There he is, head coach Sean Payton. You, Joey, can full season, regular season mode there when you're being asked about injuries. You know that already. But look, here's the thing. You have to ask him why the team's, you know, one of the top players, obviously, and best receiver, Michael Thomas, is not there. If it's an excuse, only because, again, it's a mandatory minicamp, right? It's a mandatory minicamp. Now, you have to ask that, and you know you're probably going to get that kind of response. He did say Cam Jordan, of course, as we mentioned earlier, having a baby, but he did say Thomas was an excused absence for whatever the reason. Did want to go over injuries and such. You heard Brian and Elise asking about the linebacker versatility there. That is something we've been touching on. And look, primary, secondary positions, you heard it. That's, each guy is able to play more than one position. It's got to be confusing for a quarterback. What is he on this play in this defense? I mentioned it was 102 degrees, it feels like, the heat index out there. So it was interesting that Brian maybe picked that up as well, because he asked Coach Payton about the tempo, and he said first half of practice better than towards the end. And you wonder, Joey, you just wonder, just real quick, what side of the football is Sean Payton really good at? I mean, like, what's his calling card? What side of the ball is he, what would you say is his forte?
His forte.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell because he's got a square football.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
offense.
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 Mm-hmm. Marcus Davenport, sack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is in the team drill in that 2 minute. Ken Crawley picks off Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
A play after DeMario Davis almost got one. And also, another sack, George Johnson with the sack
George?
On Taysom Hill.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, you can kind of wonder if maybe that's why he thought the second half of practice didn't exactly go the way he wanted it to go. Because the defense kind of stepped up there and made some plays. Again, you got to like it. You got to like just what you're seeing in some of the areas on defense there, because again, you get a lot of depth back there in the secondary. You add the linebackers, and again, you just saw it from rookie mini camp, in which again, we just got to see 30 minutes of that second practice of three with Marcus Davenport, and you saw the speed and agility, but he struggled with the hands. And then in the first OTA, you know, it was kind of like, okay, there he is, and Teron Armstead kind of handled him. And then the second and third OTA, you saw him getting more and more in the backfield. In the third OTA, he had a sack. And then today, day one of minicamp, he sacks Drew Brees in the red zone. It's getting there. I mean, again, that's what you want to see. You want to see progress. Now, again, I get it. No pads and all. But all you can do is evaluate what you have. And the coaches do the same thing. They have to evaluate what you have. If he's getting in the backfield, he's two-hand touching number nine, then you go with the sack. Now, whether or not there would be a sack with pads or not, I don't know. I don't care. Is he constantly getting back there? Is he making Teron Armstead work? That's what you want to see from a guy you moved up and gave up a first-round pick for. So, I like that. It's good. Joey, what's this sound right here? You hear that sound?
I hear the clapping.
There it is. That is the myself patting myself on the back. Ooh. I said it back in hour number one when
and
we were going
was?
Through the reports. If you remember, I said, look, Tim Hightower, one of five players, Sean Payton said, is getting a three-day workout. And I thought at the time, and I said, it's probably one of those things where you're you're going to see, you know, a situation where he's kind of giving him a hand. Kind of giving him a hand to maybe get on with another team, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, a four-week stay.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, just one of those things. Let's get some stuff on tape. That way he and his agent can send that out to try to get a job somewhere else. I don't see Tim Hightower cracking this group here. You got three young running backs, one you drafted. So I think that's what this case is. He's done it before with Hightower. So that's why I was leaning in that direction. And I said in hour number one, I think with Jamal Charles, it's probably a situation where he said in minicamp and he said in OTAs, there's a short list on the board, on the whiteboard, inside the office, where they keep track. And this was, if you remember, the question about Adrian Peterson. Remember, in minicamp, somebody asked, well, would you bring back Adrian Peterson? And he goes, well, look, of course we would. We had a great relationship. There wasn't no issue, even though everyone has to post that meme or that gif of the death stare given from Sean Payton to Adrian Peterson in that Vikings game. But he did say, hey, look, you kind of want to keep track of it. And I said, I bet you the Jamal Charles thing, because remember, the report from Adam Schefter is he was visiting. He was visiting. If he was working out for them, he would be a part of what Hightower and the other four players are, too. He would be in uniform. And remember, I said, when I hear visiting, that probably means after practice, he'll go to the indoor facility and go run some drills for the coaches and staff. And bingo. Hence the pat on the back, Joey. Sean Payton said that exact same thing. It was just to see, and it's just to see kind of shape you're in, where you're at, and that's what I was saying. You're probably bringing him in. He's on that short list, and you're going to see a week or two in the training camp, right? Because when you look at training camp and you break it down, the week before you got that first preseason game, you start seeing a lot of those reps. You start seeing the ones and the twos starting to shift out a little bit, right? After that first preseason game, you take what you see in that first preseason game and maybe alter some stuff based on some play. Hey, maybe Joey looked good in this game. Let's give him a snap or two the week leading into the second preseason game with the ones or the twos, or Joey didn't look so good in that. Let's move him into the twos. And that's what you do between games one and two. The first 2 weeks of preseason, those first 10 days in a row, it's ollie ollie oxen free. You're trying everything. You're seeing who's taking the what, who's bumped and bruised, who's sitting out of practice, who's doing all. So that's really the first 7 days. Then you have 3 days where the pads come on and all that other stuff after that first weekend. Then you're starting to sort things out. And during that time, you're going to realize and see, is Jonathan Williams somebody, a running back I can count on? It's during that time you're going to see, all right, look, Trey Edmonds, he had that nice run against Buffalo. Is that somebody I want to continue to develop? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to also see during that time, Boston Scott. Is this a guy that we can depend on in the return game and things of that nature? Again, that's what you're going to see. If Jamal Charles is going to join this team, it'll probably be mid-training camp. Right now, again, short list, you bring him in, there's probably a handshake or an understanding. And again, if another team wants Jamal Charles, he's probably doing this with other teams. But this is probably one of those things where, okay, look, we're going to see. And if we get to the point where we go, look, we need a veteran guy for those four games, here's the playbook, start brushing up on it to where when he comes in, he has an idea what they're doing. And sure enough, that's exactly what Sean Payton said today after practice, that that's what they're doing with Jamal Charles. So there you go, Joey. See?
With all the injuries, does the term trade bait come in? I mean, like, not a high pick, 6th, 7th, 8th, round 9th, whatever.
For Mark Ingram?
No, I'm talking about the other players.
Well, again, you would keep he's not signed.
After
4 weeks.
We can sign him. Right. We can sign him.
We can sign him for trade.
I heard LeBron's could be behind him.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
LeBron's playing behind Hightower.
Exactly.
Because he bought Chris Paul's house.
Go over some of the other things that we saw in OTAs here as well as the guys are making their way back over here. Join the intern and Brian and Ola East as we'll get their observations. Interesting. So, look, you're getting more and more feedback and seeing really the defense really kind of shine towards the end. So, again, you kind of read between the lines, obviously. Look, the heat took a toll, but Apparently, it took a little bit more toll on the offense tonight. Sean Payton sounded a little testy there at the end of practice. He spoke for about 3 minutes and 14 seconds on there. Maybe he was bothered by the injury questions. But, again, look, you have to ask when Michael Thomas is not there. He's been there all the OTAs. You have to at least ask. And then, of course, with some of the other guys that you hadn't seen in a lot of the OTAs, you did see get in some situations like A.J. Klein up there with DeMario Davis. So we'll touch on all of that and more when we continue. It is hour two, the Sports Hangover. We're going to chime in with, we tracked him down, Joey. It is the off season, by the way, so yeah. We did track him down. The Grass going to chime in at 1:45. It's only because he's not even texting me. He's like gone dark. But on Twitter, he did tweet yesterday, greatest super regionals ever. So apparently he's been watching and locked in all the super regional play. All the teams are in the College World Series. We'll get his take on it as well. Some former coaches he's familiar with as well. And I want an answer. Maybe he can give me a reason. Why did the Auburn player, the right fielder, jump to get that ball that went in and out of his glove and over the fence in a home run, walk-on style for the Gators last night? So we'll touch on all that and more, plus our three all observations from day one in minicamp. As Brian will be back in here, we'll go back and forth. We'll do that next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. It's on 3 to 6 p.m. on Tuesdays, right after Matt. It's the Kenny Farrell Show, live from Finn McCool's. 6 to 7 o'clock, Jason Troskler and Coach will recap the Jesters' road win over the weekend. And also, about this? The World Cup is Thursday. Joey, you excited about the World Cup? Do you watch the World Cup or not? I know Russia's got a little time difference there. So, yeah. Well, we're on. We'll
catch it.
I mean, the games will be going on. Okay.
I like Liverpool. I like England itself, though.
Yeah,
But I'm... Is the U.S. in it this year or no?
See, why'd you do that?
Because
why did you do that?
Because
they're not in it.
I like to be in Evan Rooney and cesspool and just
you know they're out. Not in it.
So I got to pull from Mother Russia.
A lot of people's sentimental favorites going with Iceland.
Iceland, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Iceland,
yeah. Home of the Icelanders.
Icelanders. There's ice there.
Icelanders.
Yeah. Well, they got that chant. Everyone loves the chant. So,
the chant.
We'll see.
Go ice.
We'll see. We'll have our picks when it comes here on Thursday.
I get it. Ice picks. Oh, yeah. Cool. I saw where you went. Ice picks.
I was completely unintentional, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
Take it.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. Nola, we threw out there. Well, part of the Saints chatter we've been talking about is what would your motto be? Apparently Cam Jordan and Sean Payton mentioned this offseason at some point, bow up will be something the motto, or he wants the team to bow up. I think I remember what Payton was talking about. I think he said Cam Jordan was telling everybody that. So I don't know if it's exactly printed on T-shirts just yet. But, you know, there's always entrepreneurial fans out there trying to make a little extra dollar here, a little extra dollar there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I asked you all at ESPN Radio NOLA at GCAT_17, or you can call us 800-998-1003, 800-998-1003. What situation or what motto would you like? What motto would you want out there that you think would fit? All in to that. Brian and Ola East has been saying that. I like unfinished business on the front and on the back. DST period 469. Destination 469 miles. The distance between here and Atlanta. See what I just did there? Destination Super Bowl. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just the shirt. Destination 469.
I like that. I do like it.
See, I'm telling again, this
it
is a
grabs
free
your
idea.
Exactly. Somebody can say, hey, what that 469 means? Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Have a
I'm
seat,
glad you
son.
Said that. That is
grab a snowball.
I mean, if
and
you
have a
wanted
seat.
To get like, you know, exact, I guess we could go from New Orleans to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta's fine. It's the cities is where you're going with. But anyway, we got some pretty interesting feedback from some folks. Just win from Tina. How about that?
Ooh, just win.
Just win. Just win.
Just win.
Simple. Boat lawyer said, Bunk Gang 2, Electric Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. Jeremy agrees with me, unfinished business, because I honestly believe we should have been in the Super Bowl, so it's time to finish what we started.
Ooh.
Jordan says, let's go back to what worked. Finish strong. Yeah, Quail Man says, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg. Mayor of Metairie, don't bleep the bed.
No, sensei.
I like that. Don't bleep the bed.
Don't bleep the bed.
Don't bleep the bed.
Okay.
Remember,
this is a family show, so skip
That's why I said bleep.
Right.
He didn't say bleep.
He didn't say bleep.
No, he didn't say
bleep.
Can't
wear that shirt to church.
Cannot wear that shirt to church. That is like home field advantage, North Korean Santa, is what he says it should be. The West Bank Hoodat drew it big. Remember the Pels did do it big.
Drew it big.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's pretty cool. I still like yours, though.
Colton's skipping the whole football thing. He wants the entire motto that's going to be on the Saints shirts. Hashtag bring LeBron to the Pels. He's all on board. He's so on board. He doesn't care what the football team uses as motivation.
No.
He says, use LeBron as motivation. Bring LeBron to the Pels.
Maybe that's what this should
be. Either that or he's telling me that that's what we need to start the hashtag, bring LeBron to the Pels.
Yeah. You know, like Drew excites the team before. We got to finish strong. We got, you know, he gets nuttled. We got to be like LeBron, become LeBron, you know. Then they break and go.
Yeah.
That's the way to bring him, you know, start using his name. Or name a sandwich after him. The LeBron sandwich.
There you go. West Bank, who that?
Go ahead.
Also congratulating Brian and Ola East on not getting the Sean Payton next question response based off his questions. By my tally, I got two questions from Brian and Ola East, didn't you? I heard two questions.
Yeah.
From Brian and Ola East. That's what I heard.
I did.
Yeah, so I thought he did well this time. I thought he did good.
It was like a good press conference. But that might not be a bad shirt. Saints 2018, next question.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
That means we automatically go into the Super Bowl. Next question.
Yeah, that's good.
Ooh, Super Bowl, next question. Sorry. Good try. I got there Velcro, so I can change it every week. It's a good reply, though.
So you have it. So, all right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with the Graf. Ty Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. It apparently has done nothing but watch the Super Regional play. He loves him some college baseball. I want to say 25, 26 years calling college baseball. Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a while. Exactly. We'll ask him his thoughts on it here as well. Plus, what does he think of LeBrow? Mike Greenberg, Jalen Rose from Get Up, ESPN's morning show, saying, hey, he's all about getting LeBron over to the Pels. He says Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and LeBron, that's a trio that can give Golden State a run for its money. How about that? We'll touch on all that and more when we come back to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. A little music for the Graf. That has to do with the topic we're going to talk about. At NT Graf's the way to follow over on Twitter, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, and also, what is it, Todd? 25, 26 years of calling college baseball?
Gus, I actually just finished my 27th spring.
There you go.
So
27 years up in the box calling action on the diamond. And I saw the tweet you had. You're calling this one of the best Super Regional weekends you've seen?
I haven't seen any better. Six of the eight went to the third game, which is pretty rare in itself. You know, you get the three-game Super Regionals often, but usually I'd say about half go to the third game. This time it was six of eight, which was a record. by the way, and Super Regionals came online in 99. So it's you're coming up on 20 years now in this format, and this is the first time that six of the eight went to the third game. You throw on top of that, you got a couple of those third games that go extra innings, and you're talking about really intense baseball, and I just think it was so fitting and so unfortunate, if you're an Auburn fan, the way that all of it ended last night,
right,
in the 11th inning, but Florida goes to the World Series on a home run that goes off a right fielder's glove and bounces over the fence. I could probably say, Gus, just off the top of my head, that's the first time that that's ever happened, that a team goes to Omaha.
Yeah.
When a kid goes over the wall, it would have been a home run if he does not get a glove on it.
No. Todd.
No, he catches the ball.
Yeah.
It's out, obviously, but if he does not put a glove on it, it's a home run.
See,
so he goes over the wall.
See, I saw it differently. I thought he caught it on the track. He jumped inside the wall. I thought that's what I'm saying. You think it still goes over the wall? Well, first off, the wall looks like it's 5 feet tall.
I absolutely thought it was a home run if he does not get a glove on it. No question. And he instead, and God bless that kid, he's going to think about that the rest of his life. And I thought Jim Schlossnagel, who now is, of course, the head coach at TCU and was a longtime assistant at Tulane, I thought his tweet, you know, after that happened was so apropos. How can a game be so beautiful and so evil at the same time? Again, you know, you got kids from Florida who are going crazy because they're going to Omaha, and then you've got that kid right field for Auburn who thinks that, you know, it was because of him that their team lost, which is totally wrong. I mean, he did everything he could have done, and it just was that's the game, man. But it was a whole weekend of that, Gus. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this year. Of course, you want to always be a part of it, but of course, just the fan in you. You know, you get locked into those games, and it's just crazy the way that all of the games ended on that play.
Well, Todd, you did see more than anything else, too, that there were some calls there that could have been strikes. And I saw that was another tweet you had, because I was thinking the same thing, that were you'd never want blue to determine who wins or not, and it could have been that situation. But one of the things that you and I were texting back and forth during these games is, one thing that you're saying, 6 of 8 going to game 3, Washington's their first trip, Florida 4 straight, 7 of their last 9, but they're a team that were 1 or 2 all season long and had a battle into extra innings to get going. It's no longer a walkthrough or an easy trip to get to Omaha, is it?
No, and I'll put it even further for you, Gus. It's no longer a lock. Now, it helps, but it's no longer a lock if you're hosting that you're going to automatically zip on through. I mean, back when the super regional format started, and even, you know, just recently in the last 5 years, if you're hosting a super regional, you're talking about 80 to 85% of the time you're going. I mean, you can just punch your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
That is so not the case anymore, and it's just what you saw. I mean, Tennessee Tech took Texas to the brink. I mean, Tennessee Tech was a couple of clutch hits away from beating Texas in Austin. Duke was a clutch hit away from beating Texas Tech. I meant Tennessee Tech.
Right, Tennessee Tech.
Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Duke was a clutch hit away from beating Texas Tech in Lubbock. Again, you're thinking about places that no one's going to go in there and win. And it was that close. Florida was taken to the 11th inning as the number one national seed
right
in their own ballpark by an Auburn team that just wouldn't give up. What Mississippi State did is nothing short of miraculous. To have the turmoil that they have had all year long and to watch those guys go into Nashville and beat Vandy in their building was outstanding. I feel so happy for Jake Gotro, former all-time Tulane great, now an assistant at Mississippi State. He gets to go to Omaha now as a coach, which is outstanding. Of course, David Pierce with Texas. No one knows that staff when they were at Tulane. So I had a lot of rooting interest the last few days as well with just guys that I know. Of course, Mark Kingston was a longtime assistant at Tulane, and he got to the third game with South Carolina. Of course, Arkansas beat him pretty handily last night. But Mark Kingston has done a great job in his short time at South Carolina. So I just had a lot of local interest for me, myself, and it was just a lot of fun to watch.
We're going to get your, I guess, final takes here on just how hard it is to get through. We'll wrap up with a new pitching coach over here at Tulane. We'll ask you about somebody you know very well, too, because of Omaha as well. But also, Todd, when you look at it, we were touching back and forth, you know, again, through text, watching these games and how difficult it is to get there and stuff. And you add, it's something you've always told me, too. When teams have added artificial surfaces as well, teams have become a little better fielding teams. You deaden the bat. Games are closer, aren't there, Todd? I mean, is that one of the reasons we're seeing your Coastal Carolinas from years ago, teams going to Game 3 in Super Regionals? Because maybe everything's a little more parity shape in terms of the bats and the field, and now everybody can sort of feel a little better than maybe they were?
I think that's got something to do with it. I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, Gus.
Right. I
think a huge factor in these teams that these, you know, quote-unquote, you know, mid-majors and all, you know, upstart teams, when you're looking at what Tennessee Tech did this year, you know, they led the nation in wins. I mean, they had 53 wins. Tennessee Tech. And you're thinking, who in the heck are these guys? Well, if you watch these guys during the regionals, I mean, they went into Oxford and beat up on Ole Miss. I mean, they smacked Ole Miss pitching around. And I think in the last couple of days, Texas pitching won the day, and that's why Texas advanced to Omaha. But, you know, when you're talking about Tennessee, a team like Tennessee Tech or a team like Coastal Carolina from a couple of years ago, these are senior-laden teams, seniors and junior-laden teams that have played together for years and years, and, you know, good enough where you're going to have guys drafted maybe after their senior seasons, but if they were drafted as juniors, they were good enough but didn't go or came back to school, and that experience factor goes a very long way. And I think you see that with these kind of, again, quote-unquote mid-majors that get to that position. You've got a lot of very experienced teams, you know, and then you throw on top the factors that you talked about. I will say one thing, Gus. If you watch the regionals from last weekend, I think without question you can say that in the dead bat era, the dead bat era is no more. We saw balls leaving the yard at a regular pace, and I think that's really good for the game. And then, of course, you're going to see games like you saw last night in Gainesville that go 3-2 in 11 innings. But the home run has always been a part of college baseball.
Right.
And when they basically took it away, you know, 6-7 years ago with the BB Core bats and the raised seams and the balls, they've lowered the seams. The balls are traveling again, and I think that's, again, why you're seeing a lot of teams into this thing, because the home run is the ultimate equalizer.
No doubt. Obviously, it's one of those things that we will see as the years continue and obviously as teams try to get better. I know, Todd, you and I have talked about this off the air. It's just odd that only two teams from Louisiana made it to the regionals, and they both had to fight to get there, one winning its conference tournament, and LSU had to make a run in the SEC tournament. Next year, obviously, in your regards, you hope that Tulane will be making a bigger push. How big is getting Daniel Latham back on the pitching staff there?
Well, personally, I think it's awesome for a guy like Daniel to come back to his alma mater again. I've known Daniel for a long time. I watched every inning he ever pitched. He's the all-time saves leader at Tulane, and his credentials speak for itself. He's done such a great job at Southeastern with that staff under Coach Matt Reiser. And, you know, the thing that really separates what Southeastern staff has done the last couple of years, which is what Tulane staff has not done over the last couple of years, it's throw the ball over the plate. If you look at the difference between the walks and the wild pitches and the hit-by-pitches from Southeastern staff the last couple of years with Tulane staff, it's astronomical. And if Tulane would have had the numbers that Southeastern did on the mound, when you're even talking about ERA, hits to innings pitched, but especially the walk column, Gus,
mm-hmm.
Tulane's a regional team. We hit the ball well enough to win a whole lot more games than we did, but the pitching just was not there. And That's why a change was made. And again, if Daniel comes in and does what he did at Southeastern, next year, you're going to see a dramatic increase in wins because Doyne's got the majority of their lineup back from a year ago. It's what's going to happen on the mound next year is what's going to determine the difference.
There it is, Todd Graffanini. I didn't see Grassway to follow on Twitter. Yes, it's the off season, but he'll be watching the CWS. And maybe we'll get your picks by the end of the week on Friday, Todd. Go study up, and we'll get your picks on Friday.
You got it, Goosey. And, yes, they are panicking in Atlanta.
There it is.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Gus, quick.
Uh-huh.
If you got 3 years left on your contract, do you hold out?
No.
3 years. Not one. Not two. 3 years.
Ty Graffanini.
Eric!
There he is, giving us the latest on the Julio Jones contract. Well, 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 look who walked in here, Brian Olais. We'll get his recap from practice. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.